Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Celebrated novelist John Irving has written 13 novels over the course of his prolific career, 9 of which have been international bestsellers. The World According to Garp, which won the National Book Award in 1980, was Irving's 4th novel and his first international bestseller. In 2000, he won the Oscar for Best Adapted Screenplay for The Cider House Rules, the film adaptation of his 6th novel. Other film adaptations of John Irving novels include Terry Richardson's The Hotel New Hampshire, George Roy Hill's The World According to Garp, and Todd Williams's The Door in the Floor, adapted from his 9th novel, A Widow for 1 Year. John Irving will be part of this year's Williamstown Film Festival when he talks with Williams College professor, writer, and festival board member Jim Shepard about his adaptation of The Cider House Rules, the discussion taking place at 7 p.m. on Wednesday, October 30th. It will include clips from the film as well, and it's a great pleasure to welcome John Irving back to the roundtable. Thank you very much for joining us once again, sir. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
At what point in your writing life did film start to emerge as even a possibility? Because it was really with your first, it started even with your first novel, didn't it?
It did. It started with Setting Free the Bears, although the effort to adapt that novel was never successful. I spent a year working on the screenplay from that novel, and, you know, attribute what I learned about writing a screenplay to working with that director, Irvin Kershner. I was living in Austria at the time. My middle son was born in Vienna around that time. You know, it was a valuable experience, if for no other reason that I learned how to write a screenplay working with Kershner. That said, it might sound strange to add this. I've never personally cared very much for movies. Even as a kid, I liked the theater better. And although I have been involved in various adaptations of my novels to film, and was very much involved as the screenwriter in the adaptation of The Cider House Rules, I don't think of myself as wanting to write screenplays unless someone else, someone I respect, wants to work with me and is kind of begging me to do it. It's not my first instinct. I certainly never think that a novel is in any way incomplete if a movie isn't made from it. In fact, I sometimes think it's sort of a triumph if a novel is left alone and adaptations aren't made or aren't even attempted. And it's nothing I think about that is making a film while I'm writing a novel. Most of my novels don't interest me as films. And when they've interested other people, directors, as films, I've declined the invitation to write those screenplays. I never wanted to write The World According to Garp as a screenplay. George Roy Hill was a friend of mine. He wanted to make it. I said, fine, I'll help you. I'll read your screenplay, whoever writes it. I'll look at audition tapes for cast. I'll do whatever you want, but I'm not interested. I don't see this as a movie. And I told Tony Richardson the same thing about The Hotel New Hampshire. In the case of Cider House, I always saw how to make it as a film even before anybody asked me. I don't know why. I don't even remember. I just recall that as I was finishing that novel, I thought, oh, I see how you would do this, if anybody cares, if anybody wants to.
You make the point that The Cider House Rules was, as a book, an 800-page manuscript, a 500-page book, and the finished screenplay was 136 manuscript pages. You lost a lot in that, and I assume that has to be a very difficult part.
Well, there's a reason most of my novels are long. The reason most movies are in a range of 2 hours is obvious. That's as long as the audience can sit there. There's a good reason for that, or at least an objective reason for that. But the reason my novels are a little forbidding to the prospect of adapting as screenplays is because of the passage of time. The passage of time is what makes the novels long. The fact that they're generally, often, usually, about 30 or 40 or 50 years in the lives of one or more of the characters. They're not about a summer. They're not about a year in the life of. The passage of time is as important to most of my novels as any major minor character. And I don't like those movies in which passage of time plays. I don't like those movies in which you need three or four actors to play this or that principal character, where as the character ages, you have to change actors because the audience's emotional and psychological attachment is to the actor. Change the actor, the audience starts at zero again. I don't like that. All those, what most people think of as wonderful adaptations of Charles Dickens, most of them fail for me because the actors keep changing. Passage of time doesn't work. There are rare exceptions to that. And in the case of Cider House, the reason I saw how to do it was I could imagine that story taking place in 15 or 18 months instead of, as the novel does, over 15 years.
What is it like to remove a character, especially one that you've created? There's a character in the novel, Melanie, who is an older girl who befriends Homer, and that character is taken out of the film completely. Is that difficult for you, or did you know at the beginning of the process of writing the screenplay that that character would have to be eliminated?
To be honest with you, that's the smartest question anybody's ever asked me about the process of adapting that movie from that novel, the Melanie factor. And there were many readers of that novel who were angry at me for that adaptation, for that loss of that character. She's a very strong character, but that's why I didn't hesitate to lose her. The main character of that novel is a very passive kid. It takes him more than three quarters of the story to make up his mind about who he is and what he's supposed to do. He's a passive hero. He lives in the shadow of bigger, stronger men, bigger, stronger, older men. That's who that orphan is. It takes him a long time to figure out what his role is, should be, will be. And if I give him a sidekick as strong and sure of herself as that character, Melanie, that character, Homer Wells, looks like a wimp from the beginning of the movie until the end of it. Instead of what he is, a lost and a lone boy. So I knew I had to lose Melanie. Melanie never made it into the first notes I wrote about that screenplay. She didn't even make it into the first draft. I said, this is a powerful, overbearing character. So I didn't really shed any tears over Melanie. I love her as a character in the novel. There are many characters like Melanie in the other novels. Strong, big, physically big, dramatically big women who overshadow the often younger, less sure of themselves male characters. She's a repeat character in many of my novels, but she just would have overwhelmed the film. The film would have ended up being about her. So I knew I had to lose her. And I had to compensate in ways for that loss. But with the director's help, with Lasse Hallström's help, I saw there was something I would gain. And what you gain is, in the film, from the novel, is that when that orphan comes back to the orphanage, many of the children who are orphans there are the same children who were there when he left.
Mm.
They are the same unadopted orphans whom no one will ever take. And they're there when he comes back. So that was an emotional advantage that I had in writing that screenplay that I did not have in writing that novel when it takes Homer Wells 15 years to come back, and the orphans have all changed.
Obviously, there is your personal investment of writing the screenplay for Cider House Rules, but when you compare it to the other adaptations of Garp and Hotel New Hampshire, does it make it sweeter in the sense that, yes, there was a personal involvement, but it seems that it came from liking the films but not loving them? Is that safe to say?
Yeah, that's not an unfair way to put it. I've said things along those lines. George Roy Hill was a good friend of mine. Tony Richardson became a very close and dear friend of mine. I love those guys. And I gave them every assistance I could, but I never saw those endeavors as ones that involved or engaged me. I didn't see how to make those stories happen as screenplays or as films. Tony adapted The Hotel New Hampshire himself. Steve Tesich was George Roy Hill's screenwriter for Garp. And, you know, I gave him what help I could, but I just never felt that those films had the emotional gravity of either of those novels. The adaptation that I think is every bit as good as the Cider House Rules is the Todd Williams adaptation of the film he directed, The Door in the Floor, which when he approached me about it, he was very frank and said, I see how to make this book if you only do the first third. And I just want to make a movie of the first third of the book, so we'll have to call it something else. And we chose The Door in the Floor, a title of one of the chapters of the novel, because the so-called eponymous widow of a widow for 1 year, she's still a four-year-old girl at the beginning and the end of that movie. So we couldn't use that title. But I worked very closely with Williams, and he wrote a wonderful script. I gave him some notes on the script. He shot a beautiful film, and I gave him a lot of notes on the editing of that film. But I feel The Door and the Floor is a terrific adaptation of my writing, and I put it alongside my own adaptation of Cider House. I think those are, you know, far and away, no comparison, those are the two best movies that have been made of my novels, those two.
The skill and the craft and even the ritual of your writing of a novel, does any of that go over into writing of a screenplay? I remember you talking to us about, you know, how you always start with the last line of the book. Do things like that work their way into writing a screenplay, or do you have to dispense that because it's a completely different form?
In the case of any adaptation from a novel or a play to a film, every writer knows the last line. So that part of the process is very familiar. You know, I do know where it ends.
Right.
Because I've already written it. But in the case of my novels, of course, I know where they end before I begin writing them. So that's some advantage. I think the work I've done on screenplays, my own, and helping other people with adaptions of theirs, it certainly has helped me to understand dialogue a little better as a novelist. I think the work I've done writing screenplays has helped me with both dialogue and visualization, which are necessary strengths in writing a novel as well. But I don't know that the powers you need at your command in writing a novel are of particular use to you or really of any use to you in writing a screenplay. It's present tense, which most novels I like anyway, aren't. There are some notable exceptions to that, but I generally hate the present tense in fiction, even in short stories. And it's pretty unbearable over a novel of any length. But that's what a screenplay is. You write a screenplay as if you've already seen a movie, and you're telling a friend what it was about. You're describing a movie you've already seen, present tense the whole way. My writing as a novelist is very visual. That doesn't come from movies. I've heard people who mean me well say, oh, your novels are so cinematic. I hate that word. because my novels are very visual, but I did not learn it from movies. I learned it from 19th century novels. Hardy is very visual. Melville is very visual. Hawthorne is very visual. Dickens is very visual. Flaubert is very visual. Gee, that's where I got it from. Those were the models of the form for me, the 19th century novel. And in that sense, adapting myself to writing a screenplay from writing a novel, since I'm a visual writer to begin with, that was a pretty smooth and easy transition. Yes, there's a lot of stuff you have to lose, but no question about it.
When you look back on the experience of Cider House Rules and winning an Oscar for it, does that change anything, any perception you have? Because you have to, I assume, be proud of that accomplishment.
Well, I think you have to realize, and I suppose this is another reason why my attachment to writing screenplays is very tangential and only occasional and not very committed. As I said before, somebody I respect has to really want to do something, and then they possibly can persuade me to be of some assistance to them. But I don't want to do it on my own. I'm not interested. You write a novel, you are the director. You write a screenplay, I don't care how good a friend the director is, you're not the director. So why would I give up being the person who makes up all the decisions to becoming one of the people who contributes to the decision-making process, the principal decision-maker, not being me? Why would I be more interested in writing screenplays than writing novels if I could write novels and can write novels and do write novels? Well, the answer is I'm not. I'm more interested in being the novelist because I make all the calls. Well, that said, the reason the Cider House Rules is any good is because of Lars Ahlstrom. He's a terrific director. He's a terrific guy to work with. And if he hadn't made a good film, nobody would have noticed who wrote it. And nobody would have nominated me or given me an Academy Award. The reason I got an Academy Award for screenwriting is it was a good film. And that's largely to Lars's credit. It's a director's medium, and you're just a contributor as a writer. And I like that role occasionally. You know, it's fun if your principal creative life is as solitary as being a novelist is. You are all alone for the approximately 3 to 7 years it will take, or does take me on an average, to write a novel. There's nobody helping you do it. It's occasionally fun to be a part of a collaborative venture when you are essentially not a collaborator and don't live a collaborative life. I like it. It's a vacation. It's a change. But would I like it or want to do it as my day job? No. Not ever. I like being involved in The Door and the Floor because I really liked Todd Williams. I didn't really have my heart into the enterprises of making those movies of The World According to Garp or The Hotel New Hampshire. But I love Tony Richardson and I love George Roy Hill. So, you know, it was fun to be around for a while. But the relationship with Lasse Hallström was a special one, and we worked exceedingly well together. That's all.
John Irving will be part of this year's Williamstown Film Festival when he talks with Williams College professor, writer, and festival board member Jim Shepherd about his Oscar-winning adaptation of The Cider House Rules. The discussion takes place on October 30th, Wednesday at 7 o'clock. It's the kickoff event of the Williamstown Film Festival. And for more information, you can go to WilliamstownFilmFest.com, WilliamstownFilmFest.com. John Irving, it's always a pleasure to have you on the program. I thank you so much for joining us and look forward to seeing you as part of the festival.
The only thing I don't look forward to about it is that it will be Game 6 of the World Series, if there is a Game 6. And I might not have agreed to go if I'd known that.
Well, hopefully the Sox will have it in the bag by then, right?
Oh, you're an optimist.
John Irving, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Bye. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.